This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Your mind from the 50,000 watt blowtorch of the Red River Valley AM 1100 The Flag, the legendary voice of the Northern Plains. They listen on the moon, trust me. 550 K Fire, KLTC in Dickerson and KTGO Tioga, Williston, Watford City. Back at it for another hour. We have Congressman Kelly Armstrong at the bottom of the hour. We're going to start with Brent Sanford, the Lieutenant Governor, and I will try and get some more of the excerpts of that interview with you. Already, the Native American elder, Mr. Phillips, has responded to the comments of the young man from Covington High School and basically saying he's lying. Now, this is just crazy to me because there's video. I don't need to hear anybody's side of it. I can watch what happened. It's amazing. Now, NBC's curious why he's smirking when he says he's not smirking and all that stuff. But anyway, more of that interview, and we'll continue to follow that, plus the shutdown stuff, too. So looking forward to all of that to come on the program. Right now, Brent Sanford, the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of North Dakota, joins us to talk a little bit about the Burgum-Sanford administration priorities in the legislature. Good morning, Brent. How are you?
Good morning, Scott. Great to be here with you. We definitely are not shut down in Bismarck. It's hopping today.
Well, it's hopping every day, isn't it? I mean, my gosh, this session seemed to kind of come be shot right out of a cannon and has been pretty darn busy right from the get-go, fast and furious pace, which I guess is, you got 80 days every other year. You got to use them, right?
Absolutely. It's a good thing. It's a great time. We're excited.
What's your overall view of how the session's going so far?
Well, it's different than last session because last session had to be basically fiscal austerity the entire time when you're staring that kind of lack of revenue coming down the pike. The forecast was so dismal. And so it basically was, you know, trying to manage the cuts. And this time we've had the blessings of some good oil prices, some good resurgence in sales tax as the biennium has gone along. And so we're by no means back in the heyday, 13 to 15 type bienniums with the oil boom raging. We're not at those levels, but we're in much better place than last time. So that means there's hundreds of millions of dollars that are going to be parked somewhere, and there's a lot of competing ideas. And the fun part for us has been the reception that the public and the legislature has had to the governor's $300 million of legacy fund ideas and proposals for long-term, multi-generational, high-impact, statewide, national-impact projects, you know, and so it's been exciting, you know, working through each one of them and seeing where the legislature is sitting on them at any given time. And the thing that obviously comes into play is there's so many other important areas of ongoing government that need to be funded. And so, you know, we went through strategic review processes with the cabinet agencies and identified areas of where services could be reduced and where more services are needed. And so we felt we had a pretty good handle on the base budget coming in. And to have basically a break-even spending level with a little bit of a cost-to-continue type increase for some of those things like employee raises that didn't get increases last time. You can't expect employees to go 4 years without a raise. You know, so we proposed some of that. But otherwise, spending, you know, ends up very flat for ongoing and with the, like you said, some ongoing, with some raises for salaries and such. But the part that is going to be hotly debated is what to do with the SIF dollars, the legacy fund earnings dollars. And is that going to be on water infrastructure? Is that going to be on a new state hospital? Is that going to be on higher ed buildings? Is that going to be, you know, there's a bill out there for income tax reduction. Is that going to be for presidential library? Is that going to, you know, what type of project are we going to be looking at? Is it for a UAS network? And so they're very fun, robust conversations.
Is there, you know, when you talk about competing ideas, obviously, you know, there's all kinds of things proposed, and you have the priorities very well laid out by Governor Burgum and yourself. Any of the proposals that you see that you are concerned about, that you think would be not a good use of the public's dollars?
Well, there's obviously if they aren't in our budget and our plan, then we're curious about them and we're listening. It's something where, like I say, there's competition for, you know, the number that Majority Leader Pollard said this morning, addressing one of the trade groups that was in the Capitol, was, you know, $700 million in the SIF. And so he said that's what the House Appropriations looks at for one-time spending. And, you know, and he said we'll be very concerned about infrastructure. And they're talking about spending dollars back to local political subs for infrastructure. And that seems to be really important to both chambers. Obviously the Prairie Dog bill is something that brings back memories for me. It was Senator Wardner's bringing Operation Prairie Dog, and that it seems like somewhat of a different take on the surge funding in 2015, where there was ending fund balance built up to roll money out for infrastructure. And in that surge funding bill in 2015, a big part of it, people forget, was that state DOT receiving hundreds of millions of dollars for needed highway improvement, you know, and the dollar amount is not the same volume for Prairie Dog as what it was during the surge. But one thing that's notably not in there is DOT funding. I'm not sure if people are thinking about the fact that this is for county roads, township roads, cities, you know, it's local political subdivisions. So, you know, I spent some time on talk radio, as you know, and I do hear concerns about from callers about DOT, about state highways, you know, functionality of the highways. And so, you know, we do have $1.5 billion in our budget, don't get me wrong, for DOT, for roads, for water commission, for water projects, airports and such, you know. So we have $1.5 billion in our budget. But, you know, what does that Operation Prairie Dog affect on the state responsibility for water projects, for highway projects? Don't get me wrong, as a former mayor, sending money back to the local political subs, that's a very positive thing. That's one of the number one concerns when you're talking to Association of Counties or League of Cities is, what are we going to do for this crumbling infrastructure in the middle of our communities? And that's something the governor always supports, is getting money back for infill growth. And if you listen to the governor, about Main Street Initiative topics, conversations, property tax reduction, you'll hear him say, one of the dangers is continuing sprawl. Sprawl is hard to pay for. As we know, in the oil boom areas, it's hard to put those new rings around the cities without bringing on tremendous debt and putting special assessments back on the taxpayers. We struggled and did as little of that as possible in Lockford City, I can tell you personally. But still, it's a challenge of that growth is challenging. We don't want to see Operation Prairie Dog be another method for growth that has a questionable payback, or it's hard to make a payback on that.
Is there mechanisms within Prairie Dog so that the dollars aren't committed until there is actually an agreement that it fits the priorities? I mean, what I worry about a little bit, and there's widespread support for this Prairie Dog bill, but the questions I keep asking are, you know, who decides who gets the money and what are the projects for? And, you know, the surge was obvious. There was a need because of the enormous amount of growth that was happening, and it was going to, you know, just basic solid infrastructure.
And this is more for ongoing. And, you know, the things the governor would like to see is dialing it in to maintaining existing infrastructure, rehabbing existing infrastructure. You know, another part of it is a concern would be the permanence of it. There's a number of people, mainly people in the oil industry, that say you're going to lock in $280 million or $200 million or so of DIF funds that come from excess oil earnings for in a permanent fashion. That's with a question mark after it. The people that are in the industry say, we don't know when that day will come when we're producing 500,000 barrels a day instead of 1.3 million. And, you know, as evidenced 3 or 4 years ago, you know, there needs to be caution exercised on that. So the permanence is a concern, but it's also, you know, like we said before, getting money out to local political subs for infrastructure if it's dialed into to existing infrastructure, that's not a bad thing. Looking at it from terms of, does this address the workforce issues of our administration? Is it attracting the millennials? Is it keeping our kids? Is it building that 21st century workforce? Is it focused on that? So those are some of the conversations that the governor has with leadership on this particular topic. And one more question that's out there is should there be competitive grant pools versus a relatively smaller amount going to communities and being allocated to them and then held until there's a project coming? Which way makes the most sense? We have competitive grant pools all over the place.
Yeah, we should maybe explain a little bit what a competitive grant pool is, because I think it makes a lot of sense. Get a framework for what the dollars are for, and then say, hey, we do this with it, we do this with it, and you get some good competition on using the money wisely. Love that idea. More coming up with Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford. If you have a question or comment, 701-258-0550, or text us on What's on Your Mind.
Welcome to Soybean Minute, your source for timely soybean news.
I'm North Dakota Soybean Council Director Joe Morgan of Castleton. Soybean producers interested in intensive soybean management should attend one of three Getting It Right meetings scheduled for Park River, Lisbon, and Hope, North Dakota. At the meetings, NDSU Extension will discuss past soybean research conducted in North Dakota and the outlook and production issues for 2019. The program will provide information about all the major production decisions which have to be made in order to grow a soybean crop. Meeting dates and locations are Tuesday, January 29th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Park River City Auditorium in Park River. Wednesday, January 30th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Ransom County Fairgrounds Expo Center in Lisbon. Thursday, January 31st from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the American Legion in Hope. For more information, contact NDSU Extension Agronomist Dr. Hans Kendall at 701-231-8135.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
Help preserve your wealth. Successful investing requires more than just selecting the right stocks or bonds. It also requires avoiding big mistakes that can harm your financial future. Call Collins and Kronk to get your free no-obligation report, The 8 Great Financial Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Let the advisors at Collins and Kronk explain some common pitfalls investors make, and more importantly, how to avoid them. Steering clear of any of these key mistakes could greatly improve your ability to reach your investing goals. Given the current news and the uncertainty in the financial markets, you may wonder how you'll keep your own portfolio on track to help meet your financial goals. Get the free no-obligation report, The 8 Great Financial Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Call the advisors at Collins & Kronk today and ask for the report. Collins & Kronk, 701-235-0119. 701-235-0119. Collins & Kronk is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services. Securities offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., located 300 NP Avenue, Fargo, Suite 108.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Here in part by Dak Diesel. CJ's on the phone to tell us about how he and his crew are waiting for you. Whatever you have in the way of a diesel vehicle, they'll take care of it. Semi-trucks, pickup trucks, tractors, trust them. Get that repair done right at Dak Diesel. CJ, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you doing, Scott?
Doing fantastic. What's keeping you busy today?
Oh, Just cleaning up an engine, C16 Caterpillar. We're doing a rebuild on cleaning that up, getting that ready to go. And I also got up to a Volvo, and we're doing some tuning on that. And I got one guy working on a 6.0 Power Stroke and an Excursion. So he's working on that, and I got another guy finishing up a head gasket on a Cummins. So just busy here like always, you know. Nothing really too new, but, you know, it's just the same old here for us, but like I said, busy, so.
Well, that's a good thing. So folks, contribute to the busy, keep them busy, and, you know, more importantly, get that truck fixed right. Pick up semis, tractors. DakDiesel.com. Tell you more about what they do. They really are great at preventative maintenance. So it's been a while, and you're thinking, I want to prevent the big dollar repair. Good time to call CJ and the crew. 701-258-5011. Thank you, CJ.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Have a great rest of your week.
You bet. Appreciate that. 21 past the hour, and our conversation with Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford continues. You have a question or comment for him? Text 226-8503. That'd be me. That'd be Todd, rather, or me at 367-2054. Robert sends a Facebook note here. Ask the Lieutenant Governor if the governor is going to sign the proposed primary enforcement of the seatbelt law.
Yes.
All right, there you got your answer. And I think we've heard that before. I think some folks maybe were wondering if that was the case since you didn't break the tie. In the vote. Did you not want to be the decision maker?
That's something where the Senate has the ability to do it themselves, and now it goes to the House. So we will see. We'll see what comes out of the House. Comes the governor's desk, and I'm thinking it will be a signed bill.
All right, so let's go back to our conversation before the break, and one of the things you'd like to see in if these grant dollars go to the communities that need infrastructure, some things that would happen. You talked about a competitive grant mechanism in it. First of all, give me an example of where that's worked well.
Well, and this is speaking from being a mayor and being on city council for 10 years' time, that when that emergency happens, when there's a hole in your water tower, when there's a break in a utility line, and you're a smaller community and some of the smaller communities generate, you know, 50 to 100,000 couple hundred thousand of property taxes. You don't have much to pay for your infrastructure or employees at that level. But what happens when the emergency happens? Where do you go? They end up coming to the state, and there might be community development block grants possible. There might be a water commission emergency funds possible, but generally those funds are very competitive, and a lot of people are working for a long time at getting those water commission funds. As far as like borrowing ability, there's a couple instances where you can go to the Bank of North Dakota, but, you know, what does that fund look like? This, in something that has been contemplated since the beginning of this concept for Prairie Dog is competitive grant pool, where instead of getting a relatively nominal amount of money assigned to each city and then whether or not they can apply for it and get it or not, but it's assigned to them for when they do have a project, what seems would be of value is I can take a small community example of coming to the Water Commission needing $300,000 because the water tower was broken and it was an emergency situation and there's no ability for funding for that community by themselves. And a brand new water tower is millions of dollars, but a fix is $300,000. And it was amazing to find that there was nowhere for them to really go for a program like that. That would be an example of a case where maybe once out of every 10 or 20 years you have a project that comes along where you need more funds than you'd have access to. And so a concern is getting a smaller amount every year or every other year, you know, after Prairie Dog payout, if it's permanent, you know, is that amount just put into permanent spending or is it saved? Is it truly saved? Is it saved at some state level in the treasurer's office or land board level or wherever it might end up being housed? And what does it amount to enough for that individual community? Or would it be better to band together and have that emergency type or major project type funding available in another pool? And just keep in mind also, I've mentioned the Water Commission a lot. $280 million for Prairie Dog is not that much less than what the Water Commission gets for an appropriation each two-year biennium. it's looking to be in the high 300s this time. The original forecast was looking like 420 or so, but now I don't know what the final number was, 370 million. So that's not that much more than what's going out proposed in Prairie Dog. And the State Water Commission, I used to go to those meetings as mayor, and now I sit there as lieutenant governor and being the backup chair if the governor's unable to be there. And there's a lot of competition for those dollars. When you listen to the raw dollars needed for the Minot flood control project, for the NAS project to continue the water treatment plant going to Minot, for the dollars needed for the diversion in Fargo, there's way more than $370 million of needs there for water projects, and that's a very competitive process. And so it's vetted out by having well-engineered plans and going through different layers of approval and then competing for those funds.
Let me add an editorial comment that had the property tax buy-down dollars come with a competitive grant or, a few more, you get it if you show us where you've spent less on this, that, and the other thing, rather than more, we might be in a different place. I think it's a good suggestion. I really do for wise use of the taxpayer dollars. So I hope that happens. Only have a couple minutes left. I do want to ask you about the controversy related to the request for $50 million that would leverage, another $100 million for the Theodore Roosevelt Library. The governor's been on, talked about it, made the case for it. It doesn't seem to be. Are you making any progress in winning over folks on that particular issue, would you say?
I think there's a lot of progress on that front, Scott. It's something where North Dakotans understand they, because of the fact the visitorship, how many of us go there every year or so, of the importance, the draw that Medora represents, the treasure that we have in the Roosevelt Park North and South units. As someone that's grown up 15 miles from there, I mean, it's just in your heart if you're from that area and from the state, and we all take ownership of it. And to have national interest like we have National Park Foundation interest. We have major donor interest. We have last night at an event for legislators, we had a challenge from the Walton family and from Theodore Roosevelt V of basically saying the match is here if you want it. Does North Dakota want this project? And this thing can happen, and it'd be a major tourist draw. We know that tourism is our third largest industry in the state. And so from that angle, there'd be a lot more visitorship. You look at other presidential library and museums, none of them have the synergies that this would have with having a national park named after the former president. A national park that already has 750,000 people per year go through on the Painted Canyon part of the park. And so that would put it as the number one presidential library visitorship right there.
That's really interesting. And, these libraries do draw people. They absolutely do. But it'll also be a treasure to have it here. And, of course, first of its kind at a park, at the entrance of the park, all that. Another one I think makes good sense. Look forward to continuing to follow it. A wealth of information today from our Lieutenant Governor, Brent Sanford. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, John. Anytime.
Move them out. That's what Vince Webker is saying about the largest hot tub inventory in the USA, over 100 2018 models right now. Great savings for you. And you know what? A lot of really neat features on those. Most importantly, the Ace saltwater system, which I translate to say ease of use, ease of care. Everything's better with Ace, right?
It is. It's not totally maintenance free, but it makes the water better. We talk about better water, makes it feel better. It is better. And because of that, you're going to use it more. And we have a whole lot of 2018 we want to move aside to make room for 2019. And come on in. We'll wheel and deal a bit this time of year. So we should have zero excuses for you not to make every day made better with a hot tub by the time you leave.
Great financing too, right?
That's right. Right now, 60 months, no interest with payments, or 12 months, no interest, no payments, which a lot of customers like after the holidays.
Fargo, Grand Forks, Bismarck, Minot, Devil's Lake 2, Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2, online at hotspringspasandpooltables2.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
When it comes to President Trump delivering a State of the Union address, his spokeswoman says,
"We always like to have a plan B."
And that's what Sarah Sanders says the White House is working on after Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi asks President Trump to delay the address over security concerns related to the government shutdown.
Whether he does that from the halls of Congress or whether he does that in another location, the president will talk to the American people on January 29th.
Nine U.S. service members are injured, two of them critically, after two military vehicles crash in southern New Mexico last night, not far from Holloman Air Force Base. Teachers in Los Angeles returning to the classrooms today after ending a strike that had lasted more than a week. Now teachers in Denver have overwhelmingly approved a strike that could start on Monday. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
What's on your mind? The most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains, brought to you in part today by our friends at Putlitch Chevrolet, North Dakota's home for Chevy. And Wednesday Wheels Day, we have an awesome deal every single year, every single week, rather, from our friends at Putlitch, and today is no exception. Okay, they're in Bismarck, they're in Valley City. This is a one-owner local trade. 2015 GMC Terrain, mid-sized SUV. It has a really sharp gold color to it with great-looking wheels and trim. Only got 44,000 miles on it. That SLT package means all the goodies. Heated leather seats, backup camera, power liftgate. So this thing's on the lot right now. Again, 2015 GMC Terrain, only 44,000 miles on it for $20,995. But today, only if you tell them you heard us talking about it on the radio. Scott sent me in here, $1,500 off. You're going to take it home for $19,487. Hop online, check it out at PutlitchValleyCity.com. Stop by the showroom and see it for yourself. Big selection of mint condition, one-owner vehicles means you save a ton. North Dakota's home for Chevy. 721 West Main, Valley City, Bismarck, and online at PutlitchCom, PutlitchValleyCity.com. Congressman Kelly Armstrong here in just a moment. The Lieutenant Governor, Brent Sanford, who we were just chatting with about some issues in the legislative session, is not here any longer, but I do have some texts that came in during the break, and also some calls, one on the Women's Library and one on the Roosevelt Library. I would be happy to relay those to you, to Brent, rather, and get you answers, or we'll have them back soon. I don't want to take you and have Kelly have to answer questions that are issues related to the legislative session, because he's graduated to the United States House of Representatives, ladies and gentlemen, in Congress. But text me, and I'll get those questions to Lieutenant Governor Sanford, and we'll have them front and center for our next chat with him, okay? I want you to know that. You can always text me at 701-367-2054. Kelly Armstrong is here, Congressman from North Dakota, now a new member of yet another committee. All the committee assignments are coming out, so we could chat about that a little bit today as well. How are you, sir?
I am doing great, Scott. How are you?
Wonderful. Good to catch up with you. And are you full of committees now, or are there more to come?
No, I think these two will keep me plenty busy at judiciary and government oversight. So,
yeah. So government oversight, the latest one, judiciary. Those. So we're just specific to the issue of government oversight. What will your priority be there? What are you most looking forward to affecting? Some. Whether it be sunlight or change or whatever, what are you looking forward to doing there?
Yeah, well, I think on a positive note, one thing we do on oversight is deal with intergovernment operability, like how the federal government works with the state government, whether those efficiencies are there. And so one of the things I'd like to do at a real positive when we get through some of the noise that I think, the political noise that I think is coming down the pipe, is to ensure that we are making sure that we are giving the appropriate deference to state agencies and ensuring that North Dakota agencies are doing everything they possibly can be, and the federal government is doing as little as they possibly have to.
One of the pit bulls of Congress chairs this committee. Actually, he's a ranking member now with the minority, but that's, of course, Jim Jordan, Republican from Ohio. He and a few colleagues have a caucus that's pretty well known there. Have they kicked some tires to say, hey, Kelly, come join us?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking to them. I mean, more importantly with this, I generally approach this in the early going as I do with kind of everything else. I'm a member of the Republican caucus, and as we get forward and moving forward, we'll start looking at some more of those things. But I have tremendous respect for Jim Jordan. That predates anything I've ever done in politics. You know this. I grew up wrestling. My father was really involved in the wrestling community in North Dakota. And so one of my first memories as a kid was watching Jim Jordan beat a guy named John Smith, who ended up being an Olympic champion in the national finals when he wrestled for the University of Wisconsin. Jim is a great guy. He understands this stuff as far as the FBI firings and demotions and the dossier and the 8 days in May better than anybody in Congress. So he's going to be a tremendous resource on those things.
So what is the buzz right now related to the partial government shutdown? I know the Senate votes first. There's some competing bills. Any of those have your attention? I know the House Democrats are out saber rattling a little today, but what's your thought on where we're at?
Yeah, well, I think if you go to Saturday when the president addressed the nation, I think you can see partially where we're at. The president didn't even begin addressing the nation until 4:07 Eastern time. And at 4:00 Eastern time, Nancy Pelosi had already sent out a message saying this is a non-starter before even hearing it out. So I think that's unfortunate. I think they need to get in a room. I think there's a deal to make here. I think Republicans believe there's a deal to make here. And it's important because we need to reopen our border and secure our and have border security. And I think there's a potential to at least get a framework of significant immigration reform. So I don't know why they're not in the room. I don't know why they don't get it done, because I think there's a real opportunity here for both chambers and both parties.
Nancy Pelosi has said that no deal, no how, no way, never on anything to do with the wall. Called him immoral. Said the most she'd give President Trump is a buck. How does she back off of that ledge? Is there enough votes that are different than Nancy Pelosi that might have her caucus going somewhere else? Or how do you end the stalemate when your leader is saying that?
Well, I mean, the only people that end that stalemate on their side are Democrat rank and file members who continue to feel the pressure and continue to want to make a deal. You know, our good friend Colin Peterson has already said there's a deal to be made here. There are some freshman Democrats that won really tough races just a couple of months ago that want a deal to get made. I'm not entirely sure Republican members of the Congress can put enough pressure on her. We will continue to try, but I think that has to come actually from rank and file Democrats.
There, as I mentioned, are two proposals mainly, I guess, for the Senate. One is a plan that would reopen the government along with the DACA fix and other immigration changes, gets the president the dollars to do the wall. And then the other one is a clean funding bill that would reopen the government through February 8th, I guess, to, bridge the gap and have a little bit of time to negotiate this. Which one do you like?
Oh, I'm not particularly fond of. I mean, border security came up in our conversations across the state of North Dakota more than I ever thought it was going to come up during this election cycle. And I think now's the time to deal with it. And I think we have an opportunity to do that. I mean, this can's been kicked down the roads for 20 years, Scott. I'm not sure we should kick it down the road anywhere farther at all.
So the idea of a short-term, impact or short-term sort of fix to the government funding and then negotiate, that's a bad idea.
Yeah, well, I if they had enough provisions and safeguards in place that leadership was comfortable that this really would occur, I'm not, I, I, I suppose in theory it would work, but I haven't got any indication that that really exists right now. It'll be interesting to watch how the Senate does it. I don't know if this has the potential or the possibility of getting 60 votes in the Senate, but I really hope it starts a conversation with some more reasonable Democrats on that side of the aisle as well, because pressure could come from that side of the aisle as well.
Yeah,
and we
nice.
Need to get the government open. You know, I flew back here. I went home for one day because my kids had the day off of school on Monday, and I just missed them and wanted to just spend a day with them. And, you know, when you walk through TSA security in North Dakota and you understand how important those people are to protecting us and knowing that they're working without getting paychecks right now. And, you know, some of those jobs aren't very, very high paying jobs. So that shouldn't happen. And we need to get serious about getting a solution to that.
So, you know, what do you hear as the most in the way? I mean, I hear you on TSA and, you know, it's. You know, unfortunate across the board that it has to come to this, and I'm hoping that you get a resolution once and for all. Are there any particular pain points on a partial government shutdown in North Dakota that you're most worried about other than TSA?
That one, I think the USDA stuff, Senator Hovind and Senator Craver have been doing a great job. You know, Commissioner Gehring was out here. It was open for 3 days, and now sounding like we're going to have those solutions fixed. But, you know, North Dakota is pretty self-reliant, and I haven't heard a lot. I want to know how Indian Health Services is working and how it's affecting each particular tribe, just because they're tied into the federal money so much. And I mean, because those are real world things that can actually deal with things. Mark Wayne Mullen's got a bill, I don't know if it's dropped or not yet, about Indian Health Services, which I tend to agree with them. I'm still learning more about it, but it's a treaty obligation, so I'm not entirely sure how they're considering it discretionary funding. So those issues, I mean, those issues and those pressure points are important, because it's important that people are getting adequate health care during this process.
A texter has suggested this might be a place for you to start in the Government Oversight Committee. Judicial Watch reported Nancy Pelosi spent $185,000 in 2 years on liquor. That's over $250 a day average. That is outrageous and a total waste. I want this changed, and I want to know what our representatives can do about it.
Yeah, that report's from her last time in the speakership, and I've read that prior. That is absolutely mind-boggling. I will tell you, I'm not sure we can do what we can when we get the right witnesses in front of us, but I'm fairly certain Representative Cummings is not going to allow that to be front and center in the Oversight and Government Reform Committee. So what can we do about that? We need to win back the majority in 2 years.
That's about the only way it can be fixed, you're saying?
Well, no. I mean, we have the opportunity when witnesses are there to ask them questions. If anything coming close to that stuff comes up. But I think travel scrutiny and those types of things has come under question a lot for various different reasons right now. And I think one of the best ways to handle any of these situations way before you're ever asking a question in a committee is shine a bunch of sunlight on it, because I don't know anybody who thinks that's okay.
We have about a minute left. One texter, and we get this question a lot in one form or another, asks, can you ask Kelly if there's any chance we could donate some money to build the wall, which is needed so bad? Is there a way to do it privately?
No. You know, they just raised, what was it, $20 million, and I think they're returning it to all the people, and it was a really symbolic and a great message. But, I mean, sometimes government is too big and works in a way that doesn't work. This is possibly one of those times, but just with the different environmental requirements and public-private land things, I mean, that's why this is so important. I mean, it's not like if we get the funding, the wall's up tomorrow, right? There's a lot of things that have to go on to find the best strategic places to place it, deal with private landowners on the border, deal with, obviously, terrain, and also streamlined environmental impact studies so we can do it the right way. So I appreciate it. The answer is continue to email your congressman, email members of the Senate, email members of the House, showing your support for the president and support for border security.
Yeah, that's how Democrats are going to feel pressure, is that phone ringing, no doubt about it. So make sure you do it, especially to our Minnesota friends who have a few Democrats representing them. You can be sure that's why Colin Peterson has come around on it. Kelly Armstrong, we'll chat again soon. Thank you, sir.
And thanks, Scott.
Join the best team in the West.
MBI Energy Services, with immediate openings for diesel mechanics, lube techs, and traveling mechanics. Committed to safety and job satisfaction, MBI has received national recognition for safety excellence and recently named the 2018 Best Place to Work in the Oil Patch. MBI provides excellent pay, benefits, and training, and is a strong supporter of our local communities. Apply today at MBIEnergyServices.com. MBIEnergyServices.com.
Matt, the pizza guy here for Pizza Corner Pizza. We've tag-teamed with Outdoor Bound TV host Kurt Walbeck to give away an unforgettable trip for two with you, right, Kurt?
That's right, Matt. One lucky winner will get the opportunity to fish with the Outdoor Bound TV crew on famous Devil's Lake next winter. All the fishing equipment and accommodations are provided. You just show up ready to fish. But there's only one way that you can win.
And that's by visiting PizzaCornerPizza.com. Must be age 18 to register.
Fresh new look, same great taste. That's Pizza Corner Pizza.
Your Northern Region New Holland dealers are proud to introduce the all-new CR Series Combines. They're designed with you and harvesting in mind. The brand new state-of-the-art Harvest Suite Ultra Cab is more spacious and gives you even wider visibility. Up to three cameras and new lighting extend the visibility around the combine and around the clock. Every new feature is designed for your comfort and a better harvest. That's New Holland Smart. Stop in today at your local Northern Region New Holland dealer and ask about the all-new CR Combines.
North Dakota is rich with natural resources, fertile soil, oil, coal, natural gas, and wind energy. North Dakota has a lot of it, with wind farms in 27 counties. Renewable energy is an increasingly important part of an all-of-the-above energy strategy. The Public Service Commission should support wind development to move North Dakota to become energy dominant. Wind energy, good for you, our communities, our economy. Message brought to you by North Dakotans for Comprehensive Energy Solutions.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Back on What's on Your Mind. Brought to you in part by the North Dakota Petroleum Council. Oil and natural gas from North Dakota strengthens all of America. You know that, don't you? And through our abundance of talents and innovations and technologies and energy responsibly produced here, translates to worldwide economic stability. It's amazing when you think about it. With producers in our communities working together, we're securing a sustainable future that generation after generation can build on. It's all happening right now with the Energy of North Dakota. Learn more at energyofnorthdakota.com. All right. I have more of the interview to play from the Today Show, and I have some comments from listeners on the phone and by text. So we'll get to as much of this as we can in the 5 minutes we have remaining. Chris Laverne, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Scott.
Hi there.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about Theodore Roosevelt Library and trying to remember what Theodore Roosevelt was all about. And when he was in North Dakota, what did he do? He raised cattle, right?
Sure.
Yeah, and also in our government, when he was president, he was known largely for breaking up trusts, wasn't he?
Part of his platform, sure. And the Maltese Ranch prior to that, yeah.
Right. So my thought is if we're going to give true honor and respect to Theodore Roosevelt, it'd be best if we had a state packing plant instead of a state library in name of Theodore Roosevelt. Because, one, he believed in raising beef. And our North Dakota farmers need a platform to market their beef with. And North Dakota did open its own bank, which we have, the North Dakota State Bank, and we have the North Dakota State Mill. And that mill is there, and that bank is there to help North Dakota. Well, if we had a packing plant, and we had a meat plant with labeled meats that had the North Dakota State flag on it, that would give great tribute to that chimney stack that's sitting out in Medora. That would be in honor of Theodore Roosevelt and his legacy with raising beef in North Dakota.
I don't know enough about the beef industry to know if what you say is accurate. I think it's an interesting idea to peruse. I think it's sort of apples and oranges, because what you're talking would help an industry and would be, you know, designed to promote North Dakota beef, which I think all is good and ought to be considered. I think it's separate from, you know, a tourist attraction like a Roosevelt Library would be. It's just a different, they're sort of apples and oranges, but the you know, the idea. I don't know if people want it.
In taking tours out in Medora, I only hear about the meat packing plant and also raising beef out west. And that's what you hear about when you go and take a tour. So why not have a state packing plant that would build off of that memory and that legacy that Theodore Roosevelt had in western North Dakota?
Yeah, interesting idea, Chris. Thank you for sharing that. Appreciate it very much. Texter says, Congressman Armstrong, can you get rid of the special executive service? It's the deep state layer. Another says, personal liberty means nothing to North Dakota government this session. What gives them the right to micromanage my life? Another says, hey, Scott, will you ask Sanford where our state money has to give interest-free loans to furloughed employees? Where? Did you mean to say why? I don't know. And staff to process loans. Ranchers live off one paycheck a year and have to budget for it. Where is there fair to any job or industry? All right. Interesting as well. Let me get some more of this interview in with this young man, Nick Sandman, Make America Great hat-wearing, you know, assaulter, because he was wearing the hat and smirking. And he says he didn't smirk. But anyway, more of this interview with Savannah Guthrie and our classic example of bias, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. Some more. Kevin? Can I have the audio up? Audio up? Here we go.
I mean, I certainly hope they didn't feel threatened by us. I would just say that the fact remains that they initiated their comments with us. And, I mean, they provoked us into a peaceful response of school spirit.
Sandman says he didn't see other students performing what appears to be a tomahawk chop.
There's something aggressive about standing there, standing your ground. You both stood your ground, and it was like a stare down. What do you think of that now when you think about that moment?
Oh, I would say Mr. Phillips had his right to come up to me. I had my right to stay there. Our school was slandered by the African Americans who had called us all sorts of things.
As for those red Make America Great Again hats that some students were wearing, Sandman says he bought his that day from a street vendor in Washington.
Do you think if you weren't wearing that hat, this might not have happened, or it might have been different?
That's possible, but I would have to assume what Mr. Phillips was thinking, and I'd rather let him speak for why he came up to us.
The conflict has caught the president's attention. He tweeted that Sandman and his classmates were treated unfairly and have become symbols of fake news. Sandman says he's appreciative of the president's tweets, but all the attention has taken a toll.
What's this been like for you and for your family?
It's been terrible. People have threatened our lives.
Sandman says he doesn't want to live his life in fear, and he now hopes to come out of this with a deeper understanding of others.
I have the utmost respect for Mr. Phillips. It's another person that freely used his First Amendment right, and I want to thank him for his military service as well, and I'd certainly like to speak with him.
Classy kid, huh? By the way, NBC Today said, well, we've talked to this guy, the Native American elder, three times, and Mr. Sandman once, so, you know, now we're fair, right? Oh, let's get Mr. Phillips on again one more time. I'll be 4-1. Not to mention the dripping bias the questions come with. See you tomorrow, folks. God bless
you. If your business is thinking about a new location or looking to upgrade your office furniture and design layout, there's one place you should talk to for sure. InterOffice Workspace Furniture. They have knowledgeable experts trained in the fields of workspace design for healthcare, higher ed, government settings, and they can do ergonomic assessments of your current workspace or plan space. Not only that, the team of designers at InterOffice have interior design degrees, which helps them know the health and safety challenges of the building you are in or moving into. So they can help design your space to be efficient, collaborative, functional, and safe. Being the exclusive Herman Miller dealer for the state of North Dakota gives them access to research about workspace settings and what works well for your type of industry or business. The team at InterOffice works closely with you on the project from beginning to end. So if you are thinking about moving or upgrading your workspace, talk to InterOffice Workspace in Fargo and Bismarck or go online to interofficend.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.